Jay, let's take some time to talk about the Denver International Airport. Firestorm of people talking about this thing. It was built in 1995 on 34,000 acres, which is 53 square miles. It is in spite of the fact that Denver already had what everyone thought was a perfectly fine airport at Stapleton, which was closed. What do we know about all this?
Well, you know, I lived in the Denver area from 1996 to 2000, and I became intensely interested in the whole subject. And in the film 2012, The Odyssey, Sharon Rose actually goes there, and we show the murals and the plaque that's at the Denver airport. But there's a lot more than what we showed. And as I got into looking into the Denver airport, a couple of times I met guys, you know, that install drywall and do painting and things like that. And they told me that they would be taken to the Denver airport, and they would go down these huge freight elevators that would go down and down and down and down, and they would end up in this huge underground complex where they would do work. And they asked, you know, for me not to tell anyone their names, but I could tell their stories.
Absolutely.
And so as I got into investigating this, I began realizing that the Denver airport is part of a thing called COG, which means continuity of government. And because Denver is sort of close to the center of the country, it was equidistant for anyone to fly to if, say, they had to fly somewhere in an emergency. And so it was pretty much equal from, say, Seattle or New York or Florida or wherever to get to the Denver airport. And my feeling, and I have a lot of good evidence to back this up, is that there's trains running underground from the Denver airport into shelters inside the Rocky Mountains.
And maybe cities.
Yeah, that's what I think. And they may even go beyond the Rocky Mountains. They may go all the way down into New Mexico. The Taos Hum, which was around the same time that the Denver airport was being constructed, is very likely tunneling equipment under the ground that was going under Taos, New Mexico, heading towards another underground base at Dulce. And I think that there is it's a perfectly logical thing for government to do, to try to find a way to protect itself in case of an emergency.
If that's the real reason, Jeff.
That's the real reason, exactly.
Let me tell you something, too, because I have a friend whose sister used to work at the Denver airport, and she used to see military types going into these areas, these tunnels, these shafts, and not coming back out.
Yes, I've been told the same thing. I'll tell you a little story that I when I was living in the area, I was going to work every day at a very large corporation, and I was listening to a rock and roll radio show. This was the same time that the X-Files movie Fight the Future was coming out, and they had Conspiracy Week on this rock and roll radio station, right? And so they had their local conspiracy theorist on, and he was discussing local conspiracy theories. And one day, the third day of this promo, they actually called up the head of the Denver airport unexpectedly, on live on the air, and asked him if the Denver airport had a secret base under it. And the guy literally blew his cork.
Really?
On the radio, slammed the phone down.
Stammering and stuttering.
Oh, he was as angry as a hornet's nest in August. And slammed the phone down and ended the promo. They never had the promo on anymore after that. And so you get this kind of abrasive reaction every time you bring it up. It's interesting because Federico Pena, the mayor of Denver at the time, of course, became Clinton's Secretary of Transportation. Everyone associated with the airport, which ran billions of dollars over budget, became huge in the government. in all sorts of odd ways that are very disconcerting. And so what is the Denver airport? I think it's there's a curious thing in the Denver airport. At one point in the airport, if you look up, you'll see a gargoyle. And it's in an odd place on the north end of the airport, and it's actually hard to find. And I noticed it one day, and I looked, and there was a little plaque on the wall under the gargoyle, and it said Norter Denver. And so I guess that was the name of the gargoyle work of art. Well, that's interesting because Folcanelli tells us that the number one palace of this group of esoteric people, of course, is Notre Dame. And here we have a gargoyle, which is, of course, all over Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, here in the Denver airport, and it's called Notre Denver. And so my feeling is that the Denver airport is some kind of cathedral to these guys, a cathedral to the world that they're making. And so the murals, which we show in the film, are a story. If you look at the murals exactly in the way that we present them.
Like a message? Or are they trying to tell us something?
They are.
Or are they trying to put it in our face?
They are trying. Again, it could be the roosters, or it could be somebody just trying to put it in our face, as you say. But, you know, one of them is three people in coffins surrounded by all of these extinct animals. The Quetzal bird plays a big part in this mural, which is, of course, the bird that the Mayan god Quetzalcoatl was named after. So there's this extinction message in one of them. In another one, all the children of the world are gathered around a gigantic psychedelic plant of some kind, and they're all extolling that they're all going. All the races are going to live together in a world of peace.
It's like the one world government bylaws.
Yes, it dovetails exactly in which we do in the film with the Georgia Guidestones.
Exactly.
And at the end of the scene, Sharon Rose, the narrator of the movie, actually walks up to the plaque commemorating the men who built the airport, and there, right on the plaque, is a Freemasonic sign of the cross, the square and the compass with the G. And of course, just earlier in the film, the editor of the Alberton Star tells us that the people who built the Georgia Guidestones were Freemasons. And so here we have two things, and if we add Folcanelli telling us that the cross of Hende was built by a master mason, now we have three things, all concerned with some kind of event that's going to happen. That's if to follow the murals at the Denver airport, if we're to follow them in the way that they're saying, is going to be, you know, a real nail biter, to put it bluntly.